Greetings, friends and Firebirds fans, and welcome to the maiden flight of the Fire and Ice Podcast, the official podcast of your Coachella Valley Firebirds, coming to you from Palm Desert, California, right here in the heart of the Coachella Valley. I'm your host, Judd Spicer, along with serving as host of this podcast on a monthly basis throughout the duration of the regular season, and what we hope is the postseason this inaugural year for the Coachella Valley Firebirds. Along with this duty, have the additional privilege and pleasure serving as Coachella Valley Firebirds insider, writing articles about team, staff, arena, members. You can find a couple of those articles a month, along with all the info on Firebirds ticketing, stats, rosters, community outreach, and so forth at cvfirebirds.com. Got a great guest on this inaugural episode. 10-year pro hockey veteran. Spent a few of those years in the NHL playing for the New York Rangers and also the Minnesota Wild. Since moved into the coaching ranks. Now assistant coach on the Firebirds bench for Dan Bylsma. Stu Bickel is the initial guest, the inaugural guest on this first episode, the November incarnation of the Fire and Ice podcast. Before we get to the visit with Stu, little Firebirds freeze frame for you, if I may. Great start for our AHL team. Entering the week of November 6th through the first 8 games of the season, Firebirds are 5-3, fourth in the Pacific Division, which is a 10-team division, and scoring a lot of goals, 33 all told, averaging just over 4 goals a game, and that effort being led by a host of players. Let's start with this gentleman, coming by way of Stockholm, Sweden, Jesper Froden, named the American Hockey League Player of the Month for October. First piece of hardware for our Firebirds. He's got 12 total points. He is tied for the team lead with Andrew Podorowski. Had the pleasure of speaking with Andrew for one of those aforementioned Firebird Insider articles. You can view that on the website soon. Andrew also with 12 points. Cole Lind, he recorded recently the first hat trick. That was last Saturday in Abbotsford. The first hat trick in Firebirds history. He's got a team-high 6 goals, aided by those 3, no doubt, and 11 total points. Firebirds captain Max McCormick, next on that list. He's got 10 points, led by a team-high 9 assists. The Firebirds currently, I won't say in the midst, but they have just begun a 16-game road trip before they make their home debut, much-anticipated home debut, at Acrisure Arena. That takes place on Sunday, December 18th. In the interim, 16-game road trip. They've got 2 of those already under the belt. Road trip is going to ensue this Friday and Saturday. That'd be November 11 and 12 at the Tucson Roadrunners. It's going to be followed by a pair of games November 18th, 19th. Of course, those are also on the road in Loveland, Colorado, against the Colorado Eagles. Exciting times, a lot of anticipation to be sure. I can also mention that for the first time ever, speaking of a lot of firsts on this first episode of the Fire and Ice podcast, Firebirds came to the desert, returned to the desert, appeared in the desert as a team for the first time ever this Sunday past, with the team having been based in Seattle for about the last 6 weeks. The players, the organization, have now moved permanently to the desert. Well, they'll come and go a little bit, undoubtedly, throughout this course of November. And then as they wind up that lengthy road trip through the beginning and middle of December before that December 18 debut, the unveiling of Acrisure Arena. So the Firebirds are here. They're here right now. It's good to have them here. Welcome to the desert. All right, friends, thank you. And all that prefaced, let's get to this week's visit with Stu Bickel, assistant coach for the Coachella Valley Firebirds. All right, folks, debut episode of the Fire and Ice podcast, the official podcast of the Coachella Valley Firebirds. My guest for this November edition, he's a Minnesota native, just like yours truly. Played a year for the Golden Gophers before segueing to a 10-year career in professional hockey that included time with the New York Rangers and our, I think I can say, at least between us two, Minnesota Wild. Since segued to a coaching career, which included a few years on the Golden Gopher bench, 1 year as head coach of the Minnesota Magicians. Love that team name. Spent last year in the AHL with Springfield. He is now an assistant coach on the bench with Dan Bylsma for our Coachella Valley Firebirds. Welcome, Stu Bickel, to the Fire and Ice podcast. Hello, Stu.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for the time. I know it is an active time. I'm going to kind of start with this, man. It's a belated birthday greeting in that you and I are both October 2nd, I learned during my adroit research. So a happy belated birthday to you, Stu.
Happy birthday then to you as well.
Something
Just
else.
Over a month off, but that works.
That's okay. It's okay. It still counts.
I love it.
Something perhaps worthy of a couple things, probably more worthy of celebration. The first I'm going to start with, Stu, is the stellar start for our Coachella Valley Firebirds, off to a 5-3 mark heading into this week of November 6th, currently in fourth place in the Pacific Division. That's a 10-team division, scoring a lot of goals, 33. That's 4.1 per game. So what do you attribute the strong start, Stu?
You know what? I think it's our leadership group has been great. I guess I would start there. You know, I think at this level, it's important to have that leadership, especially moving into a new situation where now we're down, obviously, in Coachella Valley. But, you know, to start being up in Seattle and kind of dealing with the bumps that come with that. And to start a new season with a new organization, I think it's really important that you have that leadership aspect in place. And I feel like we signed the right guys and got the right guys involved on our team that, are able to carry some of that load and, you know, help with the transition, help with the young guys transitioning into pro and kind of a little bit of a different situation, you know, to start their pro career. So it's been really good. I would attribute a lot of our success to those guys who, you know, some of our older players who have been a big part of getting this started on the right foot.
It's a unique season to be sure. New arena soon to be opened, a new franchise, a new market that has never before had a full-time professional sports franchise here in the desert. All that said, the 5-3 mark, very, very solid. I got to imagine that the moving around that you fellas and the other coaches and team members have been doing has been interesting to say the least. Obviously, you referenced the time up in Seattle. You are now in the midst of what is a 16-game road trip before making the Acrisure Arena debut on Sunday, December 18th. How do you handle all that? How do you keep the guys in check with all that moving around you've been doing?
You know, I think part of it is just finding some consistency with our schedule. You know, still, even though we didn't have really our office setup that we'll have down here, still finding time to do individual video with players, especially at the end of the year. I think that's really important to spend time individually with the guys, help to make sure that they're understanding everything in terms of their expectations and reads and systems and all those sorts of things that go into our preparation for getting started on the season and getting started off on a positive note. So spending that individual time, I think is important. And I think we got a lot of that done up in Seattle, which was good to start the season. And now, you know, we'll kind of build off that being back home here and a little bit better set up to continue that. So, I think it was good for us to be able to get to know the players individually. We were around each other a ton. We were all staying in the same hotel for the entire time. So we got to know the players individually really well right off the hop. And I think that was a positive for us.
Maybe we can paint a little color on that time together in the hotel. I mean, is it just going to practice or going to a game that everyone goes back on a bus together, Stu? Or is there time for, I don't know, hanging out, have dinner together, walking around Seattle? I think that the folks in the Coachella Valley are really trying to get a sense of this group and how this group has gelled together.
It's been great. I mean, I think for our guys, it was living in kind of a confined area for the guys who didn't have cars. Some of the guys had their cars up there, so it was a little bit easier to get around. But certainly run into the guys around, at the local restaurants, spots to grab lunch and stuff like that. You run into the guys, got to spend some time there. We also had a hospitality room for the players, so they had some, I think they had an Xbox up there and ping pong and stuff like that, so they could spend time together during the day too. So just getting the guys around each other, opening up some of the younger guys a little bit, and kind of finding out what makes them tick and all that. It's all part of the process. And like I said, I think our leadership was great in kind of facilitating that along the first few weeks of the season, and kind of helping build that culture and that team camaraderie that we want to build off and continue to build off down here in Palm Springs.
Stu, the offensive output I referenced, 33 goals through those first 8 games, over 4 per game. Does that surprise you?
No, I mean, if you look at it, I think we've got a lot of forwards who have a history of putting up points in this league. We've got some players who have played a lot in the NHL. So I think when you look at the makeup of our roster heading into the year, it's not really a huge surprise that we've had good offensive numbers. And we continue to round out the other areas of our game as well. But certainly a talented group up front, and some guys who can put the puck in the back of the net and have a history of doing so. So hopefully they can continue that going and continue to build on some of the other aspects of the game as well.
Stu, you referenced a couple times, and I'll use it as a segue of just arriving, recently arriving for the first time as a team in the Coachella Valley. This, of course, before your couple game road trip this Friday and Saturday, November 11th and 12th at the Tucson Roadrunners. But yeah, just this Sunday past November 6th, for the first time, the Coachella Valley Firebirds flew in unison into the desert. What is happening over the course of this week? Before we got the mic going, you referenced that you seem to be getting yourself together with your own accommodations. I can only imagine that that's happening team, if not organization wide, for folks that have yet to actually live here in the Coachella Valley.
So I had the fortune of moving in before training camp up in Seattle. So I was settled by the time I got back. But for a lot of our guys, it was the first time they've seen where they're going to be living and all that. They're, getting their keys for the first time, getting their furniture set up. So it's been a lot of that, just kind of logistical stuff as far as the living situation goes for each guy. But it's been good. I think guys are starting to get settled in, and they're excited to be here. They're fired up to be living here, but also to be playing for this organization. And now that we're in the new facility, getting a chance to see what's at their disposal here, I think they're really excited about the opportunity and what we can kind of build on in terms of the development aspect of things.
What kind of accommodations are we talking about for the players here, Stu? Is it like four guys bunk it together? Does everyone have their own apartment? Don't need any addresses or anything on the Fire and Ice podcast, but I'm just curious what kind of living situations you come up with for the players here in the desert.
Yeah, a number of our guys have their significant others with them. Some have kids, so most of those guys have their own places. And then I'm sure I've still got to get kind of a list together of who's living with who. But the younger guys are, I know there's a few that are that have roommates and that sort of thing. But I don't know if we have any houses with three, but I will find out shortly over the next couple of days here, I'm sure, what all those accommodations look like.
So you also referenced Acrisure Arena, the facility coming together. I know that the community iceplex, I believe it's the Burger Community Iceplex, is that where you're going to be having an opportunity to spend this week doing some actual training at our new building?
Yep, absolutely. We had practice here today. Had a team workout here today, so just kind of breaking in the new equipment, getting everything dialed in with the ice and all that. So it's been a positive start here. I think the guys are, they're wide-eyed when they walk in here, and they're like, oh, this I've been around the American League myself for, this is my 12th year between playing and coaching. And so I've seen a lot of different facilities across the league, and I can say I've never seen one quite like this. And so our guys definitely have everything they need here to improve their game and to improve their physical fitness and everything that comes along with it on and off the ice. So there's no shortage of opportunity in terms of what we have at our disposal. We've got extra ice time. We've got the best weight room I've seen in the American League, but probably better than a lot of NHL weight rooms.
Wow.
So it's really coming together nicely, and the parts that are done right now are just look beautiful, and I know our guys really appreciate having the opportunity to work out and skate in the facility.
I know that enthusiasm, of course, Stu, was echoed by an ardent fan base ready to get a look at Acrisure Arena again, that home opener Sunday, December 18th. Stu, you referenced your coaching. Curious about the dynamic between yourself, head coach Dan Bylsma, assistant coach, a fellow assistant Jessica Campbell, both of whom I've had the opportunity to visit with for a few different endeavors in recent months. Who exactly is handling what? How are you breaking up the responsibilities? And how are you kind of differing, maybe somewhat similar as well in personality?
So as far as the responsibilities go, Dan obviously is handling the forwards and line matchups, things like that in game. I handle the defensemen in game, in terms of who goes out on the ice and all that. And then Jessica helps Dan with the forwards, and she does the power play, and then I do the penalty kill with really insight from Dan on both of those special units. But it's kind of a collective effort. I've seen it done kind of different ways with different staffs at different levels, and it's not always the same anywhere. I think it's a little bit different everywhere, but so far we've got a pretty good workflow going and pretty good separation of what our responsibilities are for each coach, and so that we know what we're expected to do on a daily basis. And it's been working really smoothly so far. It's a fun group to be with. From my point of view, it's been really enjoyable. We joke around a lot as a staff. We keep it pretty light, but the expectations are high for our players in terms of the execution on the ice and the preparation that they need to put towards getting ready for practice. And we put a lot of time into preparing those practices and our plan for each day as well. So it's been a great working relationship so far with the entire staff. I've been really pleased.
Friends, you're tuning in to the debut episode, the November edition of the Fire and Ice podcast, the official podcast of the Coachella Valley Firebirds. I'm your host, Judd Spicer. My guest is Coachella Valley Firebirds assistant coach, Stu Bickel. When you go online looking for tickets, roster information, community outreach, all things Firebirds, you can find that at cbfirebirds.com. Stu, I'm going to attempt to accomplish an audio feat here. Bear with me for a second. I want to try to bring in something that I thought you might want to listen to.
And they've discarded their gear. How courteous of them. Just 1 second into period two. We've got a scrap. They eye each other up at center, now engage. Bickel left, then a right. Padon a right, Bickel a right. Bickel a couple of big rights. He is stunning Andre Padon. Overhand, uppercut, big overhand. And down goes Padon. And he is hurt. Andre Padon is not getting up. Stu Bickel with the KO, and a scary sight there as Padon fell flat on his face. He's trying to go to the penalty box, and the linesmen are trying to talk him out of it. He should really go to the dressing room in my somewhat humble
Stu, grab that audio of you fighting Andre Padon while you're with the Iowa Wild. I think that's circa 2015. According to HockeyFights.com, which sounds kind of lame, but is actually an incredible website, Stu, that is one of 99 professional fights of some form or other that you were involved in across your 10 years in the AHL and the NHL. You take that as a badge of pride?
Yeah, no, definitely did quite a bit of that as a player. And for me, it was finding a way to be an impact player. I never really had a ton of natural ability to score goals and things like that. And I think at some point in your career, you start looking at bringing value in other ways. And that was one of the things that, I was willing to do and willing to take on and, had some success at it after a while and just kind of built on that. And certainly something I wasn't afraid to do as a player when it was needed or, sometimes too when it wasn't needed. So
well, when you go to this site, and maybe you've gone there, it is remarkably cataloged, hockeyfights.com. Not only does it have the dates, the opponents, the principals in each fight, it's got a lot of video attached, and I'm watching a lot of videos of your fights. I guess I can see why over the course of seven AHL seasons, 919 penalty minutes, Stu. And then in your 76 NHL games, 203 penalty minutes added on. When you're working with the Firebirds, are you trying to teach them how not to get those penalty minutes?
No, I mean, usually you're okay with the fives. You don't want to take a bunch of minors, but, if you're taking a guy with you, then, it's even numbers. So we're not adverse to the fighting major or, a coincidental minor if it's the right, right time for it, but certainly do want to stay away from taking, slashing, hooking, holding penalties, that are unnecessary and, not impacting the play in a positive way. So, you got to splice the penalty minutes there. And there's probably a whole lot that we don't want. And there's probably a number that we do want. So it's not an exact science by any stretch.
In your vast experience, what can that fighting, what can that kind of enforcing, that hard-nosed style play, what can it do for your team? What can it do for the rest of the team? What did you see it do?
I think over the course of a long season, you want to have an identity as a team. You want that identity to include standing up for your teammates. And I think when you do a good job of that, you let it be known to the rest of the league and to your opponents, that we're not going to sit there and take it. If there are things going on the ice that we deem to be over the line, then, we do have the people to handle that side of things. And, Troy Bodie has done a great job of helping put together a roster where we have a lot of balance. We have guys who can put the puck in the back of the net, and we also have guys who can play more physical role as well. So I think you need both. And like I said, over the course of a long season, I think there are times where it's necessary to have that physicality in the lineup, to have the physical presence, and just kind of keep everybody in check on the other team. So there's an advantage to it, but there's a time and place for it.
Have you worked with the Coachella Valley Firebird players on how to properly fight if need be?
A few of them have asked some questions. We jokingly have a group of guys that that have asked more than others, and so we've called it the butcher shop, which after practice, where we get some guys working on different grips and stuff like that. But no, that's not really a big part of my job. I will, answer questions or help guys in any way I can there, but you know, there's not a ton of emphasis on that side of things. I think the game has evolved a lot over the past 10 years. And I think in the past, you'd see a lot of that going on after practice, guys, you know, messing around with different grips and approaches to squaring off and stuff like that. But it's much less of that now, and a lot more focus on the individual skill and the actual, you know, game that's going on.
Sure. But nonetheless, an art unto itself. Can fighting, or maybe not even fighting, but enforcing, can that be taught to a player that's just not born and bred to do that, or perhaps not physically built to do that, Stu?
I think to a certain extent it can be taught. I think there has to be willingness on the player's end, and you know, you certainly as a coach don't want guys fighting who are not comfortable doing it. You don't want to put anybody in a dangerous position. So it's not something that we urge guys to do or not do. You know, that we leave that up to the players. But with that said, I think, you know, you make a point of signing a couple of guys who have some experience doing it. So, you know, that way there's not a bunch of emphasis on practicing it. I do think that if you're willing to play that role, you know, you go out and you try to find the spots where you can utilize it. Certain guys who are not as willing to play that role, or don't need to, they're not out looking for it. So it's, there's not a whole lot of direction in terms of the fighting aspect and coaching. You know, we don't talk a whole lot about it, to be honest.
Did you ever see the movie Goon with our fellow Minnesota native, Sean William Scott?
Yeah, I did. I saw the first one. I didn't see the second one.
Oh, the sequel, Goon: Last of the Enforcers?
I have not seen that one.
The fighting in that, I can say, is probably better than, say, the fighting in Youngblood with Rob Lowe. It's a little more believable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sean William Scott, by the way, born on October 3rd. Since we're talking birthdays, I had to interject that one.
Steve. Oh, wow. Wow. You know all the birthdays. I love it.
The Adroit Research Team, yes.
Youngblood is still a classic, though. That's a throwback. I love the movie.
Growing up in Minnesota in the 1980s, I think we were forced to watch that, like in school, maybe even. I don't
know. Yeah, Youngblood and Slapshot on different days.
We'll round it back to the team and wrap it up with this one, Stu. Along your playing career, you wrapped it up right here in SoCal with the San Diego Gulls. I think you spent part of 3 seasons with them. What kind of taste did you get for professional hockey in SoCal during that time, and those opinions, those impressions, that learned knowledge of hockey in Southern California? What have you been able to pass along to the team members at this stage?
You know, I think it's crazy. I think you anticipate, like when I went down to San Diego for the last 3 years of my playing career, I didn't imagine that there would be a huge fan base waiting for us, just because of the climate and, you know, there being so many other sports in the area in San Diego and whatnot. But we were received really well, and, you know, they immediately were turning out good crowds and people trying to learn the game. And I got involved in the city there with some grassroots level, you know, learn to play type programs, a summer camp that I did with kids at the Kroc Center there in San Diego for maybe 4 years, and leading out of playing as well. But definitely opened my eyes to how many hockey fans and, you know, kids there are who want to play hockey in Southern California. There's a lot of buzz about it. And so I think, you know, we're poised here to make our mark on the community in a good way and hopefully, you know, gain a good and loyal fan base and run with it from there. But our guys, I'm sure, will be and have been surprised at the the outpouring of support that we've gotten to this point, you know, in a non-traditional hockey market. So it's been really good so far, and we're just excited to keep it going, keep building on it.
Stu, kudos on the success with the Firebirds thus far. Again, the 5-3 mark. Wish you all the best on this weekend's double dip in Tucson. I can echo that enthusiasm that you referenced, starting to see a lot of hats, a lot of shirts, a lot of Firebird sweaters here around the desert. I know that I'm not alone and looking forward to that home debut on Sunday, December 18th. Continue success, Stu. When I have opportunity to meet you in person, I will not let you pull my sweater over my head, because I've seen what you can do after watching 100 videos. And in the interim, man, keep winning games, keep having success with the Firebirds. We look forward to having you in the desert on Acrisure Arena ice soon.
Awesome. We're looking forward to it as well. I appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate your time, Stu.
All right, folks, thank you for tuning in to the inaugural episode, the November edition of the Fire and Ice podcast. I've been your host, Judd Spicer. Appreciate the time. Enjoyed that visit with Firebirds assistant coach, Stu Bickel. Don't get Stu angry. You won't like him when he's angry. Actually, he seemed like a pretty nice guy. But if you go back and watch some of those videos of Stu and his fights, you'll know what I am talking about. And when you're online watching those Stu Bickel videos, don't forget to visit cvfirebirds.com. That's your home for everything Coachella Valley Firebirds, from tickets, team, roster, stats, schedule. Also have a lot of great information there about the community outreach that the Coachella Valley Firebirds have done since making their way in the desert. They've really done some exceptional things out in the community, including, but certainly not limited to, the street hockey efforts put forth by the Firebirds, really introducing hockey to our valley. I think over 6,000 kids in new programs and local schools and clinics throughout the valley. Very impressive effort there. Again, you can find that information under the community tab at cvfirebirds.com. I know we're all eager, enthused to see the Coachella Valley Firebirds make their Arena debut here on Sunday, December 18th. But in the interim, and actually throughout the course of the season, we're going to want to follow the Firebirds' call of Evan Pivnik, doing some great job with the communications and play-by-play. You can follow him by listening to The Eagle here locally on the airwaves. That's 106.9 FM. That's the flagship home for the Coachella Valley Firebirds hockey team. You can also stream that, as I am wont to do, online. That's The Eagle, 106.9.com. Again, scheduling reminder, we've got those games coming up at Tucson, Friday, November 11th, and Saturday, the 12th. And then next weekend, the Firebirds will travel to Loveland, Colorado, the 18th and 19th, another weekend set Friday and Saturday at the Colorado Eagles. Want to give the Firebirds a follow on any of the social media routes. Might I recommend Facebook, Coachella Valley Firebird, or the Instagram and Twitter routes, both of which the handle is at Firebirds. Again, appreciate your time and interest, friends. We'll see you on the ice soon. Until then, and always, remember, one valley, one team, rising together. You be well out there.